Iku Iluna. Please rise. Ahea oko eko ka aha. Inahe kuliana imua okea aha ho'oko'okolo ki'eki hanohano okamoko aina o Hawaii. Inaui mai, imalio mai, ilohi iya kaleo. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, all persons having any business before this honorable Supreme Court, State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give your attention and shall be heard. Ino no hilalo. Please be seated.
Have the clerk call the case.
Case number SCWC-22-0000084. Tiki's Grill and Bar LLC, Respondent Plaintiff Appellant versus Dietrich Insurance Company Limited, Petitioner Defendant Appellee. Arguing for Petitioner, Dietrich Insurance Company Limited, Ashley Shibuya. Arguing for Respondent, Tiki's Grill and Bar LLC, James Bickerton. Argument on the merits.
Good morning, everyone. Today's oral argument is being broadcast live on the Judiciary's YouTube channel and Olelo. I'd like to welcome our substitute justices from the First Circuit, Judge Karen Homa and Judge Steve Nichols. Thank you for participating and presiding in this matter. Counsel, are you folks ready to proceed? Each side will have 30 minutes. Understand, Shibuya, you want 10 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Bickerton, y'all will indicate 3 minutes left with your time. Ms. Shibuya.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Ashley Shibuya for Dietrich Insurance Company. And so I'll get straight to it, Your Honors. This matter does not hinge on the physical nature of the boards erected by the Aston Hotel. This is a business income coverage case that asks whether a hotel's decision to shutter its operations constitutes direct physical loss of or damage to property that caused a necessary suspension of Tiki's operations. And in this case, it did not. Now, Dietrich's position is not that nothing physical happened. Dietrich's position is that even assuming the boards were physical, that fact alone does not create a material dispute whether the policy requires that covered direct physical loss of or damage to property cause the claimed business income loss. And here, the record and Tiki's own allegations describe the hotel as having closed and boarded up, treating those events as components of the same closure rather than as a separate and independent cause of loss. And that distinction matters because even accepting the physical reality of the boards, the record itself establishes that Tiki's suspension of operations was the result of the hotel's decision to close its property, not the plywood boards viewed in isolation. And since that causal connection can't be bridged, the coverage grant isn't met, and summary judgment was therefore appropriate, and the ICA should be reversed.
The ICA's opinion relied in part on the ambiguity of loss of use, and also with regards to what property or premises was involved. So I'd like you to address the ICA's opinion with regards to those issues.
Of course, Your Honor. So the ICA did find that certain parts of the policy were ambiguous and said that we have to construe these in favor of the insured. And that's basic coverage law in Hawaii. However, even construing it in favor of the insured, even requiring a narrow causal connection, when you look at the record as a whole, when you look at how Tiki's situates the boards within the context of the hotel's pandemic closure response, when you look at Dietrich's evidence that it provided the hotel's public announcement that it is closing in response to the pandemic and government restrictions, you see that the big C cause here is the hotel's decision to close its property.
I mean, that sounds like, are you arguing under the coverage loss of use, direct loss of use, or are you arguing under the exclusion, the virus exclusion, when you say that?
I'm arguing under the coverage language, the coverage grant, Your Honor, because the coverage grant still requires that the direct physical loss or damage caused the business income loss.
So the ICA's opinion speaks to the ingress to the entire property, the entire building being affected. Do you agree that that aspect of the property is relevant to our consideration?
It's relevant to the coverage inquiry, but that's only one part of the coverage inquiry. The policy specifically states that you need direct physical loss or damage to property causing the business income loss, and that is the causal connection that the ICA didn't fully examine.
So it just sounds like somebody made a business decision, and your position is that doesn't matter. It won't trigger sufficient causation to trigger coverage under this particular provision.
The business decision is, yeah, correct. The business decision does not trigger coverage in this instance. Regardless of the physicality of the boards, what caused the Tiki's to lose business income is the overall pandemic response.
Well, you know, in one of the district court cases, there was a decision to use materials that turned to arsenic. Is that a business decision? How is that different?
Because that actually caused a material change to the property. And I believe you're talking about the Imperial
right.
Plaza case.
Yes.
And in that case, that satisfies the physicality component, but you can't extricate the boards and view them in isolation. What caused the boards where they were part of the hotel's pandemic response?
All right, go ahead.
Well, setting aside that the hotel, as you argue, made a decision to close its mm-hmm. doors completely, aside from the physical barriers, would you still consider the boards as a physical alteration of the premises?
Yes, I think even assuming that the boards are a physical alteration, even assuming they impeded access, what caused the business income loss in this case is the broader closure response.
You know, I think to me it goes to this idea of needing to restore property. I don't hear you arguing that part of it. I mean, I don't see anything in here that says a business decision excludes coverage or somehow that it precludes a direct physical loss of use. And I don't think we're talking about damage. I think we're talking about loss of use here. So is in your mind or in your position, is the need to restore either the premises or the property irrelevant?
No, Your Honor. When you look at the period of restoration, what the boards are they're a temporary implementation measure for yeah. the hotel's decision. And so they are not something that needs to be restored. They're just the end of that measure.
Well, it changed the configuration, though. You agreed that it was a physical alteration. Now it has to be removed. It's not like they just locked the doors with the locks that were already in existence. They put up a physical barrier, nailed it to the wall.
Correct.
So there is a restoration period here, isn't there? If you're agreeing that's a physical alteration, which I thought you just did.
Well, even if you assume that it's a physical alteration, it's still the implementation method by which the hotel effectuated its closure decision. So the boards themselves in isolation, they didn't cause Tiki's business income loss.
I do understand the argument how you're tying that in, but would you agree that the removal of the boards is a form of remedial or repair work?
I don't think I would frame it that way, Your Honor. I would see them as the removal of a temporary measure.
Isn't there a possible question of fact then in terms of the alterations and whether it seems like you're saying it was caused by the COVID orders. Is that right?
I'm saying that the closure was caused by the hotel's business decision in response to the pandemic and the circumstances at the time.
But, okay, so what if the hotel had a business decision that they didn't want to open, but they didn't put up the boards? Wouldn't the restaurant have been able to reopen on June 4th?
No, Your Honor, because Tiki's continually situates the boards as part of the closure. It's not that the boards effectuated the closure.
But what I'm saying is the orders, the restaurants were supposed to be able to open on June 4th, right?
Right, correct. But the hotel
decided... So it was the physical boards that prevented Tiki's from reopening. I mean... This is a really unusual situation. I haven't heard of anything else like this. So we're dealing with the specific facts of this case, right, and this policy. I'm not sure I don't think you cited it, but there is, you know, the California Court of Appeals in Inns by the Sea versus California Mutual cited to Eighth Circuit Oral Surgeons case and talking about physical loss. There has to be a physicality to the loss. A physical alteration is included in a physicality of a loss. So isn't this a physical alteration that is a physical loss then?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, even assuming physicality, even assuming the boards did impede access, we still have to go to the coverage language requiring that it caused the income loss. And in this case, the boards themselves did not cause the loss.
Or prevented access. I mean, that's the argument they're making.
Correct.
That was the point to get in, and it was blocked up.
Correct. It prevented access as part of the hotel's closure.
Great. And then it went past June 5th. I thought June 5th, they said table service was allowed, and still the hotel didn't open for another month and a half.
And I think that's the point, Your Honor. The hotel still didn't open. The hotel, even if it took out the boards hypothetically, it said that it's closing its property during this time. The boards were merely the method by which it maintained that decision.
But it suggests that it wasn't even virus-related at that point, because table service was allowed. At least that's what I saw in the record.
Well, in the record, Your Honor, we have the hotel's public announcement on its website saying that we are closing in response to the pandemic and the government restrictions. So whether or not
the government restrictions didn't seem to prevent table service as of June 5th.
Correct. But what Tiki's was and was not allowed to do, the hotel still responded to that, to the pandemic, to the government restrictions. Whether or not Tiki's could legally operate is not material to the causation analysis.
Why not?
Why not? Because we have to look at whether, based on the record, did the boards cause the loss? And in this case, the record consistently puts the boards within the context of the closure.
A closure that didn't have to happen after, at least as of June 5th.
Correct. It didn't have to happen, but it did. And the hotel...
So it was the physicality of the closure that prevented Tiki's from reentering.
I think that attempts to isolate what caused the loss, because what we have here is Tiki's being situated within the hotel. So if the hotel decides to close its premises, that's it. You're not getting...
You concede that physical loss includes physical alteration?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Do you dispute the definition of your premises in the policy?
No, Your Honor, we do not dispute that.
Thank you.
We're saying that even if there was some kind of physical alteration, the causation element isn't met. And that's what carries the day in terms of summary judgment. Because we negated that element, Tiki's is not entitled to coverage under the policy language. We still need that coverage. We still need that causation component to complete the coverage analysis. And Your Honors, separate and apart from the coverage grant itself, even if the court concludes that Tiki's claim potentially falls within coverage, the policy's virus exclusion and the loss of use exclusion independently support summary judgment because they both turn on causation and, again, hone in on the cause of Tiki's claim.
Well, isn't there a genuine issue material fact on that? Because table service was allowed as of June 5th and they kept closing the premises for another month and a half, causing them seven figures in losses. I mean, isn't that an issue of fact?
No, Your Honor, because what the law may or may not have allowed doesn't affect the fact that the hotel closed down because of the pandemic. And it says it's right in its public announcement that we attached to our MSJ. And so that the pandemic is the big C cause that informs everything else. So again, even accepting that the boards are physical and they impeded access, again, they can't be separated. They can't be artificially isolated from the pandemic. The pandemic was not just some background noise. The claim business income loss arose from the pandemic-driven closure decision. And then similarly, for the loss of use exclusion, even accepting the boards as physical, even accepting the impeded access, the claimed business income loss still arose from Tiki's inability to use and operate its premises as
a result. So if the loss of use exclusion applies, what business interruption income would be covered? In other words, let's assume that the place was destroyed by a hurricane. They lost the use of the restaurant, right? The plaintiff would have lost the use of the restaurant. So you're saying the loss of use exclusion would preclude business income coverage?
No, Your Honor.
You're saying it would obliterate the coverage altogether?
No, not at all, Your Honor. Because what we have here is, in your hypothetical, we have a direct physical loss, the hurricane, causing
damage.
Well,
no. We're talking about the exclusion here now, mm-hmm. Okay? You're arguing the exclusion. Mm-hmm. You're saying because there was a loss of use, there's no coverage anyway, right? You're arguing the loss of use exception. Right?
Correct.
You're saying that it gets rid of the coverage that was provided.
Right, because the exclusion precludes coverage. It takes
right.
out.
So you're saying a physical loss that would not allow use of the restaurant would be excluded because of the loss of use exception. In other words, you're saying that there's no coverage whatsoever.
No, Your Honor, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in this case, the physical component, the boards, did not cause the loss of use of the property. What caused the loss of use was the hotel's decision to shutter its business, to close down completely. And that's different because that doesn't have...
That's the coverage, right?
Right.
Now I thought we're arguing the exception now.
Right.
Exclusion. Mm-hmm. The exclusion now.
Right. So Tiki's inability...
Assuming there's coverage, are you saying that the loss of use exclusion would preclude the coverage?
In this case, yes, because the business income is the result of their loss of use, not because of the boards. The boards were simply the means by which the hotel decided to close down the property. The business income loss.
But why wouldn't that argument apply if the restaurant was destroyed by a hurricane?
Because, Your Honor, that...
Or a fire.
Because the actual cause of the loss is physical in nature.
So now you're actually arguing causation of the coverage. And what your argument on loss of use would apply even if there was a physical loss or damage. In other words, you're saying that this coverage is non-existent. Isn't that a little bit unconscionable?
No, Your Honor. I'm not saying that the exclusion swallows coverage. I'm saying that there still needs to be a physical component. And in this case, the cause of Tiki's
So now we're back to the coverage, right? Mm-hmm. So the issue is whether or not there was a physical loss, right?
That's part of the coverage inquiry.
But you're saying even if there was a physical loss, there's no coverage because of the loss of use exclusion.
No, I'm saying the boards, as the specific component that we're looking at, did not cause the loss of use. The hotel's decision was the loss.
I thought loss of use was an exclusion. Is it?
Yes, it is. What I'm trying
kind
to...
Kind of a confusing contract, isn't it?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. I think when you look at the broader context that the hotel, that the record provides, and you apply it to the business language, you see that, okay, we can isolate physicality. That's fine. we can concede that on summary judgment. But did that physical component cause the loss? The boards in isolation did not cause the loss. Tiki's loss of use, the hotel's decision to close it, to close its property, is what caused the loss of use, not the boards in isolation. The boards were just the implementation method.
You're saying, I'm really confused now. I thought loss of use was an exclusion, not a coverage. Your last sentence seems to be suggesting it. Because the boards did not cause the loss of use, there's no coverage.
Right, and I think they are related because the policy is there to cover direct physical loss, right?
Business income loss from direct physical loss.
And if you are just asserting I couldn't use the premises, that doesn't trigger the, if you're not asserting a physical loss prevented you from using, caused the necessary suspension of your operations and caused you to lose business income.
Well, here they are alleging that they're arguing that physical loss of use caused their loss of income.
Correct.
But there's a loss of use exclusion, and you don't get coverage if there's loss of use. And then I'm saying, hey, well, let's assume you concede that there was physical loss. Why wouldn't your exclusion then apply to the conceded loss of use? In other words, you're saying that the coverage is illusory if you apply the loss of use exclusion.
No, Your Honor. What we're saying is that the loss of use exclusion applies when there is not a physical component causing the business income loss. In this case, the boards did not cause the business income loss.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I think that yellow light means my time is up.
Don't you think that's an issue of material fact?
No, Your Honor. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For the jury to decide?
No, Your Honor, because you still have to look at the record as a whole. And in the record, we have Tiki's alleging in their first amended complaint that the hotel closed and boarded up. We have Mr. Tobin stating in his declaration that discussing the hotel's closure in the context of a pandemic-driven business decision. And then we also have Dietrich's MSJ evidence with the public announcement that the hotel is closing in response to the pandemic. And just quickly, Your Honor, I'd also like to point out that Tiki's does not suggest that the boards caused the closure. And I think that is an important fact to remember when we're looking at causation.
I understand your argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court, I'm Jim Bickerton. I'm here for Tiki's Grill and Bar. And I'm happy to answer any questions, but until you have some, I'll lay out where I think I see the problem with the argument that counsel just made. If you have ever been to the site, and it's pretty clear from our client's declaration, the record, you can't lock Tiki's out of its restaurant. It is an open-air arcade. The building is built in the old style of the 60s and 70s. You know, it's wide open. It's like a mall. And you have to walk through these big open spaces. The hotel is part of the building. It's not the entire building. The owner of the hotel happens to own the building. So the hotel can block its hotel part if it wants to. It chose to block the entrance and egress to the entire building, which have no doors. To do that, if you want to go to Tiki's, and you know, in the pandemic, I think a lot of people would have liked to go to Tiki's. As soon as they were open for dining, they had lots of outdoor seating.
What did they do, block the elevators and the escalator?
No, you just walk up a flight of stairs.
Right.
It's open air the whole way up.
Right.
There's no door to go through to get to the restaurant. I think you can access it through the hotel elevators if you need to and walk along a deck. But if you're coming in off the street or a parking lot or from the zoo, where a lot of people, local people, will park at the zoo and walk to Tiki's, it's close. They serve local food there. You can get, you know, ahi poke on wonton chips, you know, that kind of food, which is hard to get.
Yeah, it was a little bit unclear to me what the physical alteration was.
There were photos
of boards.
If you can imagine an entranceway that would be as big as this wall, and there's no door, there's nothing to lock,
right.
There's nothing to close. You walk through it, you get to a stairwell, you go upstairs. That's where the restaurant was, and it could have operated.
Right. They blocked it all off.
Physical
right.
boards.
You couldn't get into the building.
You could not get into
right.
any
okay.
part of the building. And, you know, like many buildings, it has both a hotel and a commercial space. The commercial spaces are open to the public, and they have to be boarded off. So I understand their argument that, well, there was a closure of the hotel. But that would not have stopped a hotel owner saying, we're shutting down. We're not having any guests here. We're not serving anyone. The hotel is closed. Wouldn't have prevented this restaurant. There had to be the additional physical step of boarding it up.
I think what I hear counsel's argument to be is like it was a business decision that caused it. I don't know if that was the exact language, but it was like an intentional business decision.
Yes, yeah, right? That is.
And there's no dispute about that. It was a decision.
The hotel made a business decision to board up in response to the conditions of the pandemic. They were legally actually encouraged to open because we needed places for people to stay and maybe quarantine. The hotels were never closed, but a lot of them slowed down or ceased operation.
So can you just address that particular, narrow question, which is the position I'm hearing is because it was a business decision, it wasn't caused by a direct physical loss. I mean, maybe it's semantics. I mean, the decision was to put up boards.
Well,
and yet it was a intentional business decision is the argument.
Granted. And where is that excluded or denied coverage in the policy? That really is the problem. That's they wish they had written a certain type of policy that might exclude someone's intentional breach of a duty that caused the problem, but they didn't. And so they keep saying it was a business decision, but they don't tie that to any language in the policy. They don't point to any case or anything that says, because it was a business decision by the hotel. And there's a second part, Your Honor, if I may just finish the answer.
Yep.
And that is really, we have to focus in insurance on remote and proximate causes. And what's interesting about this case is that it uses the term direct physical loss. The focus has been a lot on, was it physical or not? Well, it was physical, obviously. But was it direct? Was that the direct cause of the loss? And so you can have decisions that are made along the way, and there can be government orders that reduce the economy and change the clientele of the restaurant or cause the hotel to make business decisions. But the immediate cause of Tiki's, the only thing that stopped Tiki's from operating were those boards, physical boards. They were the direct cause. A business decision was the indirect cause. The hotel could have decided to close and not board up. They decided to implement their closure by taking it out on Tiki's. And Tiki's, of course, has a legal right to go after its landlord. But do they want to, if they've got a rent renewal coming up on a very valuable space, do they want to irritate the landlord when they have insurance coverage? There's a solution for that, which is the insurer can say, okay, you're right, sorry, I guess you're covered, here's your check. We'll go sue the landlord in a subrogation claim. You've heard a lot of those in the last
Okay,
year.
So let me talk about then this period of restoration, which is tied to the direct coverage. And that language, the suspension, of the operation during a period of restoration, right? And the suspension must be caused by the direct physical loss of the property. Okay, period of restoration ends when the premises should be repaired, rebuilt, or replaced. So, you know, reading those two things together, I don't know if like just removing boards that were intentionally put there necessarily fits that scheme. I mean, but I'd like to understand your position on that.
Very
I think
well.
I can guess, but go ahead.
I can address that. So first of all, I think we have to remove the concept of intentionality, like how the boards got there. That isn't part of the coverage issue. It's not in the policy. It's not in the cases. The question is, was there a direct physical loss? So leaving aside the intentionality, we can liken it to, let's say there was an angry COVID activist who was upset either that the hotel was closed or that the restaurant was serving when it began to serve. And they came and, in an act of vandalism, blocked the entrance. We wouldn't have much of an argument that the blocking of the entrance was the type of event we're talking about, a physical loss of use. So really, it does, what's causing the insurance company to become agitated, I think, is they see how sort of preventable this was and how it was just a voluntary business decision, and so that doesn't sit right with them, but they haven't excluded that. This is a very narrow case, and there's another wrinkle, and I'll get to your thing about your question about the restoration, but the restoration is indeed the removal of the boards. Now, normally, if a tenant had complete control over its property and some vandal came and dumped something, the tenant can hire the contractors and go in there and remove the boards and do all that. We have this very unique situation, which is why they can't show you a single case like this. This isn't opening any floodgates. This is a unique situation. This tenant had in its insurance policy a provision that the areas of ingress and egress that aren't actually in your lease are part of your premises.
Right.
So you have a situation where the premises is defined by the insurance company to include areas over which the tenant doesn't physically control. So they have to just wait for someone to remove it. It's not within their power to do so. But it doesn't mean that it's not a thing that can't be removed and that there isn't a period of time that it takes. You know, what is the length of that period of time?
Based on the intent and the decision of the landowner, I suppose.
That is the case in this case. And I mean, I'm not saying, you know, they do say that sometimes hard cases make bad law, but I don't think this case makes any new law. The ICA applied very basic principles, the three basic principles. Coverage provisions are construed broadly. Exclusions are treated narrowly. Those are the kinds of principles that the ICA applied. To me, it was an uncontroversial decision. I was actually surprised we lost in the lower court. And I was surprised that they took a writ on this because it isn't like there's dozens and dozens of these cases sitting out there. No one else in the hotel had this thought to make a claim the way we did. And this is long ago in the rearview mirror. We're not creating any new.
What are the genuine issues of material fact?
We actually don't think there are any. We urged the lower court to grant summary judgment in our favor, and I urge this court to weigh whether it can do that as well. There really aren't. One thing I want to point out is the whole argument that they made today, which is that somehow the closure and caused the restaurant to shut down and the boards were just an afterthought, is not anywhere in the record. And they're the move on below. They move for summary judgment under Ralston. Where was their evidence of that? There isn't. The evidence is exclusively to the contrary, which is we could have operated if they didn't put those boards in there. We had the legal right. We had a lease. We had government orders permitting us to operate. We could physically access our restaurant if they didn't put the boards there. We could turn on the kitchen. We could have customers walk up and feed them. And that couldn't happen because of a physical alteration to the premises. It fits right within the coverage, and the fact that they don't like it is not a reason to take up your time.
So what about the virus exclusion is what they would point to next, right?
Yes, I can certainly address that. So there are two things. Let me talk about the two exclusions that were mentioned. So starting with the virus, the first thing we have to think about is an exclusion cannot be broader than the coverage, and I think Justice McKenna was probing that question. It's a little different here. The word is direct physical loss. So it has to be that the exclusion must also be direct. You can't say we're going to exclude from direct physical loss remote causes, if it was caused by something remote. And then the question is, well, was this a remote cause exclusion? Because there are, in the policy, there's at least, we identify them in our briefs, at least six exclusions that say, by the way, this exclusion for this type of cause applies whether the cause is immediate or remote or concurrent. It doesn't matter where in the sequence it happened. If this cause was in the pipe, it's not covered. The virus exclusion doesn't have that clause. The others do. So using ordinary principles of construction, the virus exclusion is not intended to be remote cause exclusion, where the virus led the hotel to decline in business, which got to a point where the hotel felt it should cease operations, which then caused the hotel to think about how it could protect its property, which then caused it to erect the boards. That's not the case.
The other exclusions, I don't think, use the words resulting from, though. It says caused directly or indirectly, right? So it's speaking to causation. In this virus exclusion, it speaks to caused,
I believe,
by
it,
or resulting from.
Correct. But it doesn't limit it. I mean, it doesn't have the additional language that the others. We have it in the briefs. I don't have
no,
the verbiage in my mind,
is.
But it's
indirect.
It doesn't cover indirect.
Right. Was that the word used in the other provisions?
That was. In the other provisions, they refer to indirect causes, remote causes. I forget the exact language, but they have a standard clause that they keep using for those exclusions, and they didn't have it in the virus exclusion. What the virus exclusion is intended, let's say that somebody was infected and they sneezed all over the restaurant. And it had to, remember how we used to go steam clean, all that stuff? If that had to happen, then they've been denied, there's been a loss of use, and it might even be physical loss because they couldn't go in because there were germs in there. But it would be immediate. The virus itself would be the immediate cause of that closure, not where it is something that affected the economy, which affected hotels' business decisions, which affected how they decided to operate their business. That's too remote at that point to fit.
And too indirect?
It's too indirect. And again, exclusions are construed narrowly. They don't get to expand this to be a remote cause exclusion when they didn't say that in the exclusion, and they've said it elsewhere. I would like to also talk about the loss of use exclusion.
Okay, but let's stay on the virus just for a sec here, which is, I understand your argument, but there are a number of cases throughout the country who have not read that similar exclusions so narrowly. I mean, can you point to one where they've, for this very reason of the type of differing language in the exclusions, they've said, nope, you know, a decision to close a business is not going to be, the exclusion won't apply because the exclusion is too narrow.
I can't tell you a particular case that had this configuration where and where someone actually read the policy and pointed out to the court that all the other exclusions had the saving language and this one didn't. We don't have that. But also, I don't think that they can point to the other way, where there was a case where somebody made a business decision to board up a property in response to the virus, and that was deemed to be excluded by the virus exclusion. There's nothing like that either. This is a question of first impression. But one of the cases they do cite is Hungarian, UNGARIAN, which is not cited below but was cited in their writ, was an interesting case because that case was probably the strongest case you could find for them. And in that case, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court actually reversed its intermediate court, which had found coverage, as here. And they said, no, we're not going to find coverage because we think loss and damage are kind of coextensive. I don't know if this court will go that far. I mean, the way we construe policies, loss and damage must mean different things. But let's assume that they mean similar things. What the Pennsylvania court said is that loss can be total, whereas damage is just partial. Now, that's certainly a reasonable interpretation, but is it the only one? We contend here, by the way, that loss means the type of physical loss you have when the building isn't damaged. Let's say someone in the basement had an X-ray machine and spilled radioactive materials, and everyone had to evacuate. Not anything wrong with the building, no physical damage to the building, but you can't go in it. You've lost the physical use, the physical loss of the
building. Or a stolen item.
Exactly. But in Pennsylvania, they didn't talk about that. They just talked about, well, loss means total and damage means partial. And they said, therefore, there must be some physical change or alteration to the structure, and you guys, in that case, don't have it. But we do. So even on the best case for them, Hungarian, we would prevail in this Pennsylvania Supreme Court because we did have exactly what Hungarian said you need to have, which is a physical change that prevents you from using. They point out in these cases that a lot of the closure orders and all the different things people tried never prevented people from going into their premises and using them for some other purpose. They just were restricted. One analogy someone gave me is you think of it this way. Someone tells you, you can't drive your car anymore. There's a regulation of use. Someone nails your garage door shut. That is a physical deprivation of your car. It's very different. That is the case that we have here. So to address loss of use exclusion, Your Honor, Justice McKenna was on the right track, I think, when she was pointing out that it seems to be that they're using it to swallow the whole thing. But you don't have to look at it that way. What the loss of use exclusion says is we don't cover a loss, and you have to go back, what kind of loss are they covering? Loss, physical loss, or physical damage. That's what it is. We don't cover those kinds of losses caused by loss of use. How could that happen? Let's say that we had a loss of use from something that wasn't physical, the radioactive thing in the basement. Let's say no one can go in for 6 weeks. And let's say because of that, machines break or something becomes inoperable or inaccessible. Now you've got a physical loss, but it was caused by a loss of use. You can have the loss of use be the cause. But they can't use it. We're claiming we had a loss of use as a result of the physical loss of the property. That's not excluded by the loss of use exclusion. You just read the plain language. It is not the cause. Our loss of use wasn't the cause of our loss of use. So I think that these are red herrings. I feel that the amicus brief, honestly, it was, as one of my old mentors used to call it, rending of the garments. You know, they were making a big deal out of nothing, because this is a very narrow case. You don't have to pronounce any major rule of law. You just have to say there was a physical loss. It was directly caused by the boarding up. They could have accessed and used their property if it wasn't boarded up. And whether that was intentional or not on the part of the hotel, how dastardly it was, is irrelevant from the point of view of the insured. It was out of their control. They couldn't stop it, and they wanted to, but they couldn't do anything about it, short of suing their landlord, which I don't think they're required to do in order to make a claim under their policy. I think that covers... the notes that I have today. If the court has other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Hearing nothing further, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Shibuya.
Thank you, Your Honors. And so what I heard from Mr. Bickerton's argument is that, you know, there's no dispute that the hotel and the boards were a business decision. And so granted, the boards may have been physical in nature. Granted, they may have impeded access. What we still have as the cause of the business income loss, what is being claimed under the policy.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think what Mr. Bickerton said in his argument and what I was thinking is, in your initial argument, you equated the business decision and the boarding as one. And Mr. Bickerton brought it forward in his arguments that actually there are two separate choices, that there's a decision to close the hotel, also to close the entire building, and then the decision to effectuate that by boarding up the front. So if you can address that issue.
Right, Your Honor. And that still positions the closure, the business decision, as the big C cause of what actually resulted in Tiki's business income loss. By saying that the boards were the direct cause, tries to artificially isolate them from the actual causal from the actual circumstances in which they arose.
Well, could there have been different ways of closing the hotel other than boarding up the front entrance area to the building.
Yes, I think there could have been another way to do it. I mean, the landowner could have said, just told its tenants, you guys can't operate. But the result is the same. Tiki's can't use its property. It loses business income. And so that actually illustrates our point that this is not a physical barrier access issue. This is a closure decision.
Okay, continue on. Thank you.
Of course, Your Honor. And so again, Your Honors, I would just reiterate that the record places the boards within the hotel's closure, and that's the point that we're trying to make. They are not treated as a separate and independent cause of loss. The boards were part and parcel of that decision. And so even if you look at Tiki's physical deprivation of access theory, the same analytical flaw remains. Treating the boards as dispositive ignores how the record situates them as part of the hotel's suspension of its operations. The hotel's closure and the boards are the same set of circumstances. They're not independent events. They're not one is indirect and one is direct. They're part of the same circumstances. And so that also leads us to the conclusions, because that, again, the virus exclusion and the loss of use exclusion hone in on the cause of Tiki's claimed income loss, which the record again establishes as part of this broader closure decision. And so looking at what caused, going back to Justice McKenna's discussion about loss of use and whether the exclusion swallows the coverage, the hotel's decision that the property can't be used is what caused the damage in this, what caused the claimed business income loss. It wasn't the boards in isolation. And so that's the distinction that I would make, Your Honors, is that we can't artificially extricate the boards from the cause, from the circumstances in which they arose. And I'd be happy to answer any further questions that the court might have.
Well, I'd like you to address the argument with regards to the virus exclusion of the differing language, prelude language, in that exclusion versus other exclusions in the policy. And you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, the ICA made that point as well.
Correct, Your Honor. And our position is that even if you consider it ambiguous, even if you want to construe it in favor of the insured and require a more narrow causation analysis, the cause of Tiki's business income loss is still the pandemic. It's still resulting from that. I mean, our position is that the exclusion applies on its plain terms. Clearly, this was a business decision in response to pandemic conditions. But even if you want to construe it narrowly, again, the big C cause of the loss is the pandemic and how the hotel responded to those circumstances. So that would trigger the virus exclusion.
Is the record clear in terms of the decision-making and the impetus for the decision to close, to board up?
I think so, Your Honor, because we have in our MSJ is the hotel's public announcement that it's closing in response to the pandemic and government restrictions.
You know, I remember seeing interrogatories, too. I don't know if there was a specific question on that. Was there a specific question on that? Reason for the closure?
I can't recall if there was a specific question about that, but Tiki's itself consistently also situates the closure as a pandemic response.
Referenced their complaint.
Right. And Mr. Tobin's declaration in Tiki's opposition also continually and consistently situates it as the hotel wasn't required to close because of the pandemic, indicating that it was a pandemic-driven closure decision. So I think that is what I have for my notes. Again, if the court has any further questions, I would just reiterate that we do have to look at what the actual cause of the loss here is. It's not boards in isolation. The cause of the loss is the hotel's decision to close down its property. Even without the boards, Tiki's could not have operated because we have that broader closure context. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the arguments. The matter will be taken under advisement.
Iku iluna, please rise. Ua ho'o malolo ia mai ni hea aha ho'o kolokolo ki eke hanohano o komoko aina Hawaii. This Honorable Supreme Court is now recessed.